Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And Father, we ask your anointing upon the word today as it goes forth. Father, as I deliver the message that the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart, that it would reach out and touch hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome to a message from the Lord's house. You know, anyone who's ever watched religious programming on television has probably heard the term seed faith. And in the early 1970s, television evangelist Oral Roberts, according to most references, pioneered a principle called seed faith. And it uses the concept of planting or sowing and harvesting or reaping. And it's a lot of times coupled with misinterpreted scriptures in order to encourage financial support toward a particular Christian ministry. In his case, it was toward his own. The seed faith teaching was adopted by some charismatic Protestant ministries, and it helped give birth to the Greater Word of Faith movement. And you can find this on Google if you just look up the word seed faith. Now, actually, the seed faith principle was actually ghostwritten by another gentleman who came up with the idea and sold it to Oral Roberts. But we are finding a lot of people talking about that today, about seed faith, planting seeds. Have you planted your seed today? And so many times it just seems like that this only seed that's being talked about is planting a donation, giving some money. The other day I was watching a program on Christian television, and I was actually planning to watch the program that followed, but I turned it on a few minutes early. Had no idea which program was supposed to be on at that time. And I saw a particular minister whom I happened to recognize, having known of him for more than 40 years, in fact, actually probably more than 50 years that I've known of him. And he spent at least 15 minutes of a 30-minute program telling us how to plant our seed by sending a large offering to the address that was listed on the screen. And the one thing I thought about, well, who is he raising this money for? And it only occasionally popped up an address on the screen. And so I did learn from that who it was being raised for. But one of the things that we see when we talk about seed faith most of the time, and you hear it preached on television or on radio, has no mention of salvation and has no mention of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just, plant a seed, send me money, and you'll get money back in return. God will bless you financially. And yet I would guess that 90%+ of those who sow that seed reap nothing in return for that seed. No more blessed than they would have been if they'd have kept the money in their pocket. Now, I'm not saying by any means that we shouldn't donate to Christian ministries and that we shouldn't donate to good causes, because I believe we need to support the ministry. We need to support getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out across the world today and into the hearts and lives of men and women who may be listening. But the financial reward that we would reap from it is not the purpose. The purpose of sowing that seed of faith is to reap a harvest of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this particular program that I happened to turn on to was followed by another where the preacher mentioned seed faith right in the beginning. And I will have to say to his credit, he did mention that there are more than kinds of planting seed than sending a check. And that's a little bit of what we want to deal with today, but I want to kind of just give you some more information, though. Make you aware of some of the things that are going on in the world today. From a website called churchleaders.com, it talks about a self-proclaimed prophet by the name of Joshua Holmes, and I'll have to say, I've never heard of the man before. Has garnered a large following of fans. And I laugh at that word, a following of fans, some of whom consider him to be, wait for it now, Jesus in the flesh. And I'm going to pause here just a moment because it just reminded me of somebody else I've seen on television here in the Middle Tennessee area, and I'm sure he's on in other parts of the country and around the world, that claims to be the only appointed Son of God. Not begotten, not anointed, appointed Son of God. Well, this guy, in his Texas-based Joshua Holmes Ministries, young guy, claims to heal people and perform financial miracles. There's the money thrown in again. While leading a flock of God's sheep to everlasting life, through the power of the gospel and in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, I want you to know this is posted on a Christian website here, and they're talking about what's going on with this particular individual. And on Facebook, it goes on in the article to read, some female followers who post mostly about the preacher list their profile name as Holmes. The king is a visible God, posts a woman who goes by the name Michelle Holmes. The king is a visible Jesus. The king is a portal to heaven. As you serve the king, you are serving God. Oh, how misled that young lady is. And during a September appearance on Greg Davis Live, again, I'll have to say, a program I've never heard of, Holmes said that many people are ignorant of a wealth anointing in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. He goes on to claim that he moved into a mansion 48 hours after donating a whole lot of, here's the exact quote here, donating a whole lot of thousands of dollars to a televangelist, Mike Murdoch. And, you know, this is just something about this, just don't sound right to me. And maybe you're one of those folks that's listening today that thinks that if you send money, you're going to get big bucks in return. But I don't think the gospel preaches it. Yes, there is the parable that Jesus gives of the man who gives the talents to his servants. He tells them to take care of it for them while he's gone away. And he gives the one five, and he doubles the money, and so on. And the one who gives one, two, why, he doesn't do anything but bury it, and he reaps no reward, and he gets in trouble and loses what he had. And so I think they use this a lot of times as a basis for stating, well, you can get blessed, you'll get blessed. But you know, there are blessings in another sense. If you got up this morning and you were in good health, you are blessed of God. If you got up this morning and you had food on the table, you are blessed of God. If you got up this morning and you have a job to go to earn money to feed your family and take care of your family, you are blessed of God. It's not about the dollars. But this is also being used in a secular sense. Years ago, and I'm old enough to remember when this happened, a man by the name of Nikita Khrushchev, and a lot of people today have no idea who he was, but he was the first secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union from 1953 to 1964, and chairman of the Council of Ministers of the Soviet Union from 1958 to 1964. And here is a statement that he made. It was in a speech given to Western diplomats, in Moscow on 18th of November 1956. And I can remember when this happened. I can remember vaguely exactly how it went down. But he said this: "I can prophesy that your grandchildren in America will live under socialism." Think about that. I can prophesy that your grandchildren in America will live under socialism. And those that are listening to this program in America today, what's going on in the world today in America? We are trying, there are groups out there that would want us to become socialists. They don't bother to look at how it's taking place in other countries and how it's destroying other countries in the Western Hemisphere, but let's become socialists. He goes on to say, "Our firm conviction is that sooner or later capitalism will give way to socialism. Basically, everybody gets everything for free. The rich will pay for it. Whether you like it or not, history is on our side. We will bury you." And as Nikita Khrushchev gave that speech, the one thing I remember about the speech is he took off his shoe and pounded it on the table. Well, look around you, people. Look around America today, and what do you see? Look around the world, and what do you see? Seeds of socialism are being planted. Last week in our message, Witchcraft in the Church, I didn't mention that the message was actually recorded in the year 2004, but yet it was pertinent to 2018 because of the events that are taking place. Seeds of socialism are being planted throughout the world. Crosswalk.com, another Christian website, goes on to talk about the frightening truth about Wicca in the United States. And it goes on to say, "The news story couldn't have been more direct. There may now be more Americans who identify as practicing witches than there are members of mainline Presbyterianism." Now, the Presbyterian Church is one of the oldest denominations of Protestantism, and there are more members in the United States who identify as witches than there are members of the mainline Presbyterian Church. Goes on to say, even worse, Wicca has effectively repackaged witchcraft for millennial consumption. No longer are witchcraft and paganism satanic and demonic. It's a pre-Christian tradition that promotes free thought and understanding of earth and nature. That's the seed that's being planted. Oh, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with witchcraft. It's just free thought. It's about the earth. It's about nature. But my friend, no matter how you package it, no matter how you look at it, it's demonic. But the seeds are being planted. I remember over the years, there have been programs on television. Several of them were cute little comedies. Back many years ago, there was a program called Bewitched, about a witch who married a mortal, and the situations that they went through. And of course, there was the comedic aspect of it. And then there was another one called Sabrina. I believe it was Sabrina, the teenage witch. And her situations as she dealt with life, being a witch growing up in a world where the majority of the people around her were not witches. And of course, it always portrayed them as good witches. They only did good things and good deeds. Popular program on television right now is called Long Island Medium, where she contacts the dead and gives you information that they would pass on to you about what you need to do in your life. I'll have to say I've only caught glimpses of the program as we've changed channels sometimes. Have no intention of watching it because I think the Bible tells us very firmly we're to have no part of it. There's a new program that's been advertised coming out called Mama Medium. And again, same type of thing. Oh, this is going to be a good program, they're telling you. There's advertisements on television for psychic readings where you can call a phone number and you'll get a psychic reading. They're going to tell you what's going to take place in your life. And every time I hear the word psychic and I think about it, I think back to a number of years ago. I was working for a printing company and we had a lady who claimed to be a psychic. And she came in and wanted some business cards. And we printed the business cards and delivered them, and she came back and said, "They're not right. There's something wrong with them." And I forgot what the problem was that was wrong with them. And I thought to myself, well, if you're psychic, how come you didn't know they were going to be wrong to start with? Well, there are a lot of people who just manage to play a little hocus-pocus with you, and there are some who are entirely, without question, demonically influenced. Here's what the Bible has to say about it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 11. "Let none be found among you that maketh his son or daughter to go through the fire, or that useth witchcraft, or a regarder of times, or a marker of the flying fowls, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or that counseleth with spirits, or a soothsayer, or that asketh counsel of the dead." Now I want to read this verse to you again in the New Living Translation because it's a little bit updated English here. "For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune-telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums, or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead." We are warned, folks, not to participate in those practices. If you recall, for those of you that are familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, King Saul, the first king of Israel, one of the things that got him in the biggest trouble he got into was when he went out and he wanted the medium to conjure up the spirit of the prophet. Totally going against what God's word said. As a result, his kingdom was stripped away from him. Seeds of witchcraft being planted in the church. I mentioned in the program that aired last week about a lady that was involved in this, and a psychic, you might say, church. I couldn't tell you right offhand the name of the church, but they practice these things that we've just mentioned. There are other types of seeds that are being planted today, the seeds of false doctrine in the church. And I want you to think about it, folks. There is false doctrine being preached in the church today. There are things being, for example, the Catholic Church, which claims to go all the way back to having Peter as its first pope. And yet the present pope has contradicted what the Word of God says and said there is no hell. And a few other things that is in the Word of God that he said basically is a bunch of baloney. False doctrine. You can walk in sometimes into what you think is a mainline denominational church and false doctrine be preached. We have to watch. We have to be knowledgeable. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us in the church world today. Seeds of hatred are being planted around the world. We see seeds of hatred being planted here in America. I don't think I've seen since hatred going on among different groups of people. 50 years ago, 75 years ago, there was dissension. We even fought a civil war in this country 100 and some years ago over the whites and the blacks. But now, it's what you believe. It's what political party you belong to. Hatred is being planted, not only among the general population, but even in the church. Churches are being split right down the middle because of disagreements that they should be able to work out and go by what the Word of God has to say. Seeds of hatred are being planted against Christianity. Yes, I know you can pick up a newspaper, you can go online, you can watch the television, you can listen to a radio, and you hear about the hatred that's been planted against Christianity throughout the world. I believe it's in Iran. It might be Iraq. One of those countries. A woman by the name of Asa Bibi, I believe is her name, was arrested for supposedly blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad. Been held in prison for several years. A death sentence. And just in the past few days, that sentence was overturned and she was released. And there was rioting because of the hatred against Christians. And we here in America have sat back and said that's going on in other parts of the world, but you're seeing it take place here in America today. Many cases quite subtle, but it's happening. It's taking place. We read about lawsuits that are taking place because people who stand up for their Christian beliefs are being sued by those who oppose those same Christian beliefs. Christian websites are being attacked, and not in the sense that we normally think of being attacked, but virus protection programs are listing them as places that you shouldn't go to, dangerous sites. A couple of friends of mine pastor churches that their websites were recently listed by one particular virus protection group as being dangerous because they promoted religion. I want you to think about that. Every week, every time I try to log onto the website, it tells me it's a different reason. Most recently, it told me they were trying to steal my data. And I happen to know for a fact it's not true in that particular case. Our own website, Messages on Demand. Recently, a person contacted me and said, my virus protection program says this is dangerous. Christianity is under attack. Seeds of hatred are being planted against it. Jesus, speaking in Matthew chapter 24 and in Mark chapter 13, talks about end times events. And he says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, and there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And some see this as an event that happens during the tribulation period. But you know, there are some events that are in the Bible that have meanings for two different time periods. Some were for current and some were for future. And some of this may be for what's current right now and what is future yet to come as well. But we're seeing things happening here that are taking place, that if Jesus doesn't come for his church pretty soon, would any be left? Would even the elect, would those that are Christians, even be able to survive? Yes, there's a principle of sowing and reaping. It's in the Word of God. Planting a seed and harvesting. And we are to plant seeds into the kingdom of God. But we can do it in different ways. Sometimes it's just a word to someone. And I'm going to give you an example that I know I've used before over and over again. But almost everyone understands this one. Planting a seed. Everyone in the world just about has heard of the late Billy Graham. Probably the best known preacher since the apostles. And we think about, but who led Billy Graham to Jesus Christ? I was told it was a Sunday school teacher. She planted that seed in a young Billy Graham's heart. I don't know anything about the woman, who she was, anything about her life after that or before that. Probably very few people do. But she planted a seed. And I'm sure she watered that seed some. And she may have even been around for the harvesting when Billy Graham accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I don't know all the details of the story. But even if she wasn't, she planted the seed that was watered and harvested and led to an abundant harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. But she planted the seed. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to plant seeds, and we all plant seeds in different ways. Last week in the church that my wife and I attend, they had a group from Operation Christmas Child come out and give a presentation. And they were talking about a particular children's home, and I don't remember the country, it was somewhere in Africa. And everyone there has a job, and a lot of these children in this home are deformed, have health problems, crippled, you name it. The whole gamut of things that can be wrong are wrong. But they all have their jobs. And their jobs may be something just as simple as feeding someone. But the one that struck my mind the most was one who could walk, just barely bent over. Could just barely walk, bent over. His job was to hoe the row, to plant the garden. So he, in his bent over position, hoed the garden. There was another who could not walk, but they could crawl. And they crawled along and planted the seed in the ground. And there was another that had another deformity, but their job was to come around and push the dirt back over the top of the seeds that were planted. And folks, I think that's a great example of what we as Christians are to do today. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. For as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith." The point I want to get across to you is we as Christians are in this together. We are to work together. We are to plant seeds. We are to water the seeds. We are to harvest the seeds. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8 from the New Living Translation says, "After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe in the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us." Listen to that again. "Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seeds in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work." Friend, today I ask you, what seeds are we planting? As Christians, what seeds are we planting today? I want you to know the devil's out there. He's got people planting seeds. They're planting seeds of dissension. They're planting seeds of corruption. They're planting seeds of hatred. They're planting seeds of disbelief in God. And they're out there trying to reap their harvest. What seeds are we as Christians planting? Somebody gave the ABC of coming to Jesus Christ the other day. I guess I don't remember the exact event. It just was impressed upon my heart again as I was preparing this message. I didn't write it down then. And I'm not sure I've got it the same way they did, but the A was accept. And in John chapter 14, 6, it says, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Accept that Jesus is the way. He's the only way. Believe. Acts 16:31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And there are those, though, who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they don't do anything about it. And then in Romans, we get C, which is call. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you've listened to this message today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to do so today. I invite you to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. All you've got to do is say, "Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that you are the only way to God. I believe upon you today, and I'm calling upon you to save me. In Jesus' name, come into my heart, come into my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." And if you've asked Jesus into your heart today, let us know. The announcer is going to give the address in just a moment. Let us know. We're not going to send you something asking for money or anything like that. We'd just like to know if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.